If you're looking for wisdom independently of God, you're not going to find it.
Dr. Tony Evans says where you wind up in your search for understanding depends on where you begin.
Starting with God saves you a whole lot of time.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A lot of people wish to be smart, but if they were really smart, they'd wish to be wise. Today, Dr. Evans will tell us how God can make that wish come true as he takes us to Psalm 15 for today's lesson. Let's join him.
Life can be treacherous. There are twists and turns that come our way that we don't know about. Unexpected things, unexpected circumstances that, apart from being guided through them, it becomes very risky. The Bible's word for negotiating the twists and turns of life is wisdom. There's a whole section of the Bible we call wisdom literature, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. How to negotiate the twists and turns of life, wisdom. Its competing word, the opposite word to wisdom in the Bible, is fool. Those two are put in antithesis to one another. The wise man or the foolish man. The foolish man is the one who refuses to negotiate the twists and turns of life properly. So wisdom and foolishness are put in opposition to one another. And one of the realms that wisdom and foolishness are put in opposition to one another is in our speech or the use of our tongue. And we're talking about the use of speech. As a Christian, we've already discovered from James 3 that the tongue is a lot more powerful than you think. It's equal to the rudder of a ship or the bit in a horse's mouth. If you get that right, the rest of the ship or the rest of the horse has got to follow. So it's as if God is saying, if I could ever get the muscle in your mouth under control, all that other stuff that's out of control would get in control. And so the Bible is replete, is thick, it's pregnant with information about the tongue, speech, and the use of words. In Proverbs chapter 15, we see a little bit of this opposition or opposing usage of the concept of wisdom and foolishness as it relates to speech. He says in verse 2 of Proverbs 15, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. If you go back to chapter 10 of Proverbs, I mean, we could go on and on. I just want to give you a few highlight scriptures that gives you this contrast. Chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Wise men store up knowledge, but with the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Verse 19. When there are many words, transgressions is avoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. There's this contrast between the wise person and the fool when it comes to your speech. That if we could be wiser with our speech, life would be better. He says, when you are foolish with your speech, life is worse. So if we could talk better, we can live better. Because when you talk wrong, your life often follows it. That's why he speaks about the foolish and he speaks about them being in ruin. So what is wisdom? Since wise speech and wise living is such a major part of the Bible. Wisdom, very simply stated, is applying spiritual truth to everyday life decisions. To put it very simply, it is applying spiritual truth to life's choices and life's decisions. There's not a person in here who does not have words you wish you could have taken back, that you wish you didn't say it. It was foolish to say it because it was not appropriate to the decision that should have been made. Wisdom assumes you have two other things in play. First of all, knowledge. Wisdom assumes there is an information base, that you're talking out of something that you have information about. We've all dealt with people or been people who don't know what we're talking about. The information is flawed. Well, if you have flawed information, you're going to have flawed articulation. Because if your data is wrong, what you spit out of your mouth is going to be wrong too, because you're starting from a wrong source. So it assumes knowledge. That is why God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't even know things to be accurate unless you start with God. By the way, starting with God saves you a lot of time, a whole lot of time. You know, you start with your college professor and you're going to be in circles when it comes to living and life. And so wisdom assumes knowledge. But wisdom assumes something else, understanding. Scripture says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Knowledge is the information. Understanding has to do with the meaning of the information. The information is the content. What the information means has to do with understanding. The opposite of wisdom is the fool. We saw that. The Bible says a number of things about the fool. For example, in chapter 15, verse 14, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. So if you're really smart, you want to know. But the mouth of fools feed on folly. Okay? So a foolish talker is always talking about silly stuff. They're not trying to learn anything. Chapter 18, 6 and 7. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. You want to punch a fool in the mouth, okay? A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of the soul. His lips are the snare of the soul. Chapter 19, verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So, obviously, you don't want to be a fool, because with a fool comes all kind of trouble. A lot of trouble is caused by people with narrow minds and wide mouths. That is, who do not approach speech from the standpoint of wisdom. The Bible warns us not to entertain a fool. Don't encourage a fool. Chapter 26, verse 5. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. In other words, if you entertain a fool, he thinks he's wise because you've encouraged him. So a fool thinks he's not a fool because you've made his foolishness seem like it's okay. So he says, don't encourage a fool in their foolishness, because then they're going to think they're wise. So you don't entertain a fool. It's like when John Wesley was walking down the street one day, and he's walking down the street, and there was a guy who blocked him, who stood in his way on the pavement. He said to John Wesley, because he didn't like to preach, he said, I never get out of the way of a fool. The man said that to John Wesley, because he blocked his path. I never get out of the way of a fool. And John Wesley just took a step to the side and said, well, I do. But the key here is, the issue is wisdom. If we ever learn the principle of biblical wisdom, our lives would change, because what we say and what we do would be the best thing to say and the best thing to do. The fool is not choosing the best way, they're choosing their way. And there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So the idea is to learn wisdom. Now, the most extensive single passage on wisdom is found in Job 28. Let me show you Job chapter 28, beginning with verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Okay? If wisdom is this critical that it can steer you through the pathways of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it can tell you where to make a turn here and not make a turn there, what to choose here, what not to choose there, what person is a good person here, what person is a bad person there. All those are choices. And the key to wisdom is the ability to make the best choice. Okay? Because, see, you can choose the higher paying job, but it may not be the best job. See? But wisdom has to help you to decide that. We all have children who've chosen friends that we think aren't wise for them to hang out with because they were not wise enough to make the right choice. And that friend could lead them into a disastrous situation. So wisdom is not, this is not this just this general vague term. It is a term that steers you through life. And most of wisdom is demonstrated by what we say. That's why so much about speech is tied to wisdom. So he says, where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Okay. If wisdom is this critical, how can I locate it? Okay. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Ooh, no, you didn't. In other words, if you're looking for wisdom, the ability to navigate and negotiate life, and you're looking at it from men independently of God, you're not going to find it.
But that doesn't stop people from trying. And Dr. Evans will come back with an example of that in just a moment. First, though, time is running out on our special offer of Tony's popular book, Watch Your Mouth, which builds on what we're learning in our current series and focuses on ways to develop the self-control it takes to tame our tongues. Until tomorrow, we're making a copy available to anyone who can come alongside Tony's ministry as we head into the summer months with a contribution of any size. It comes bundled with an in-depth study guide and a DVD loaded with extra teaching resources from Tony, making this the perfect resource to share with your church or study group. Details on Watch Your Mouth are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or call us any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. Just make sure we hear from you before this offer runs out at the end of the day tomorrow. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson after this.
Journey to a time of kings and prophets. Witness epic battles and miraculous events. Live the greatest adventures ever told, straight from the pages of the Bible. The Tony Evans Training Center provides more than just world-class training in a learn-at-your-own-pace environment. It strives to make the books of the Bible come alive. We'll take you deep into God's Word so that you can experience it in a life-changing way. Begin your journey today at TonyEvansTraining.org. That's TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
There was a time that everybody believed the earth was flat, right? The intellectuals believed it, and the people were afraid to go too far in the ocean lest they fall off the earth. Everybody believed, okay. The book of Isaiah said the earth is round. Now, God said the earth is round. I made it. I know the shape I made it in. The earth is round, okay? So you got all these folk afraid that the earth is flat and they're going to fall off. If you start with God, you save time. That's why David could say, I know more than my teachers. Says, I know more than my teachers because of where I start. So I can speak things now with better clarity because I'm starting at the conclusion. The reason why God knows everything is because God only exists in the present tense. Remember, he told Moses' name, I am that I am. And so everything is now. So there's no night, there's no day. Everything is just now. So since everything is now, whatever is past or whatever is future from God is now. So when God says something is going to happen tomorrow, he's not waiting on it because tomorrow is now. So to use our language, he's already been to tomorrow, come back and told you now what's now that you're going to see tomorrow. It's called prophecy. Okay? That's why the Bible declares that God's word is sure. That's why he can be wise. because he knows all the contingencies. He knows all the factors. He knows all the operation. And you've dealt with this as a parent. You have a kid who thinks they're 10 years old, but they know it all. They ain't been here but that long, but they know it all. And they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they think. They're going to tell you how they feel. And here's the worst one. This is the one I hated when the kids were growing up. They're going to tell you what their friend said. And they 10 years old too. They're as ignorant as you are. They don't know nothing. So you got all these people with all these ideas talking, thinking they know something. And if you engage it, you make a fool, even if it's a 10-year-old fool, think they're wise in their own eyes. He says God knows his ways because he knows everything. He sees everything. When he imparted weight to the wind and melted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it. And to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. He says, if you take me seriously, now you will get wisdom. So watch this. If you want wisdom and skip God, you'll wind up talking like a fool. Because everybody wants wisdom and everybody thinks they're wise. The Bible says that God condemns the foolishness of this world and he makes light of them. Why? Because they're placing themselves in the position of God. And God rejects that. Most of us, I know there are a few exceptions here, but most of us have said enough foolish things that we ought to be tired. We ought to be just tired. We didn't think it was foolish, but it turned out to be foolish. We thought it was wise, but it didn't turn out to be wise. We ought to be just tired and say, I give up. Let me just find out what God has to say, and that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to find out what he says, what he means, and that's what I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell it to me as I'm telling it to you so that we both can benefit from it. God makes an awesome promise in James. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it without reproach. Whoa, that's deep. He's giving away wisdom for free. He's giving away wisdom for free on request. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God, what do I say in this situation? If you ask me, I will give it, and I will give it in such a way that I won't hold any of it back. It reminds me of, you know, a humorous story again of the guy who was asked, he had to funeralize this guy, and his brother said, now look, you're funeralizing my brother. We know he wasn't the best guy in the world, but I tell you what, I'm going to give your church $100,000 if in your sermon you say that my brother was an angel. Well, the pastor needed $100,000 for the church. But he also knew that the brother was not, you know, he was more like the devil than the angel. So he didn't want to lie in the sermon. So he said, now, Lord, I need some wisdom. Because, you know, I've been praying for you to meet this $100,000 need in the church. He offered it, but I know you don't want me to lie. So I need you to tell me what to do here. So he gets up and he preaches the sermon. And then he comes to talking about the deceased. And he said, and John was a low down, no good, profane, evil, ungodly, unrighteous sinner. But compared to his brother, he's an angel. You never know how God's going to give you wisdom. But wisdom is where God gives you things to say when you have not pre-thought it. He likes doing that. He likes giving you things that you have not pre-thought, because that means it wasn't yours. It wasn't yours. It came from heaven. He birthed something in you. That's what he did with Solomon. You got two mothers. And they both claiming the baby. You know, it's my baby, it's my baby, it's my baby, it's my baby. Whose baby is it? And so Solomon says, split the baby in half. Because I don't know whose baby it is. I don't have that information. So split the baby in half. They come and split the baby in half. And the real mother says, let the other mother have it. Solomon says, that's the mother. Because he received from God what to do in a specific situation. To know that God will give you what to say to that coworker, God will give you what to say to that boss, God will give you what to say to that mate, God will give you what to say to that child, he'll give you what to say in that situation. See, wisdom is not having a Bible verse. That may be more knowledge or understanding. Wisdom is what God gives you in the use of that knowledge and understanding in the scenarios of life. How to handle this scenario. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You've got to give me something now. See, it's in this situation when God becomes real, because he's giving you things that weren't yours. He's giving it to you. And so you speak what you hadn't planned. He takes things in another direction. And it becomes his supernatural presence through your lips. A father one day was, son came to him and said, Dad, I got a problem. I loaned John $500, but John hadn't paid me back. I think John has forgotten, but I didn't get it in writing, so I can't prove that I loaned it to him. I gave him cash. I didn't put it in writing. I can't prove. How do I get this money back? He said, oh, son, it's very easy. You write a letter and tell John to give you the $1,000 back you loaned him. He said, John's going to write you back and say, you only loaned me $500. And now you got it in writing. See, that was wisdom. God doesn't want us to continue being fools. Now, you can't change fool yesterday, but you can change fool tomorrow. He wants us to be wise with knowledge, information, understanding its meaning, and then making the choice and communicating it based on what God gives when that relationship occurs.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a message he calls Symptoms of Wise Speech. The full-length version of this lesson is available on CD. Just check with us for details on getting a copy. Better yet, you can request it as a part of our current 10-part teaching collection, Watch Your Mouth. All the information you need is waiting for you at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to check out that book I mentioned earlier, also called Watch Your Mouth. It's the perfect resource to pick up where our current series leaves off, digging deeper into strategies that can help you keep your comments in check so the enemy can't put words in your mouth. As I mentioned, if you contact us before time runs out next Tuesday, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift, along with a companion study guide and resource DVD, when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org. Or you're always welcome to call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Profanity has become so common these days that if it suddenly disappeared, some people would hardly make a sound. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans says the words themselves aren't as big an issue as the attitude behind them. Make plans to join us for this look at taming an irreverent tongue. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.